would be traditional if you ever thought about it, anybody. So I like tradition. I'm okay with things being different. We first got married, we joke about it, and I have to be very careful since my mother discovered Facebook. But anyway, she watches some of the services now. But, you know, first 8 or 9 years of our marriage, we 22 years of marriage, nobody knows how to drive at the holidays but us. But anyway, that's okay. I'm not bitter. Eight out of the first 9 years, we ate Thanksgiving at Cracker Barrel. I had grown up all my life never eaten out on a holiday. I felt so bad. I felt so bad making somebody else work on Thanksgiving. It just broke my heart. And so we do that, and that was very untraditional for me. I grew up playing football a lot of Thanksgiving afternoon, just some touch football or something, and I enjoyed doing that. So we're talking about this, and I like certain things. If I'm home for Christmas, I want a big breakfast. I don't know what it is about Christmas breakfast, but I want eggs and biscuits and if there's any tenderloin, I don't know why, but I want tenderloin. Anyway, some of you are like, can we come to your house for Christmas? Maybe. And tradition. I don't have a lot of traditions in preaching. I just don't. I'm usually going through a book. I'm going through a study. But I have one. In fact, I 2 years ago, I said this is becoming a tradition with me. I skipped last year, but I'm back this year. I have for years, except for 1 or 2 years, I have landed in this passage after Thanksgiving for two reasons. One, it's appropriate. Two, it's just where I am personally and spiritually. So if in your Bible you have a little, Pastor Rodney note on this passage, if you've been here several years, you've got, by my count, two, and this will be three. And so nod your head if it's okay if I have a tradition, okay? And I'm going to say some different things, but I think we need to visit this. I think with the onslaught of commercialism and the general grumpiness of our own spirit, if we're not real careful, we're going to miss some things. And so I want to help us tune to, if you would, to middle C here. I want us to get our hearts right and in tune with what the Scripture says. So stand with me if you're willing and able. Verse 4 is where we'll start. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. The double emphasis there, the command to be joyful, to be joyful because of who God is, and rejoice in that relationship. Verse 5, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. God is interested in how you live and what you do with what you have. Verse 5, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful. In prayer, that's a generic word. Supplication, that's our list word. With the things that you enumerate, make sure that you take that to God. And how am I to do that? I'm to do that thankfully, along with my gratitude. Verse 7, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That is literally a sentry there. He will guard your heart. He will up encampment there around your hearts. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication let your thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. Would you pray with me right now? Father, from front to back, left to right, those who will watch the service, who are watching now, would you speak to our hearts? Would you help us? Would you tune our heartstrings to the notes emitted from these verses? God, I pray that you'd use me now. Speak through me, I pray. Thank you for what you're doing in my life. I pray you get all the credit and the honor and glory right now. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you would work in our lives. I ask in Jesus' precious name. And amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. I like this time of the year for a couple reasons. I like it because some point, and it was last week actually now, where the Oxford people, the Oxford English Dictionary people, will list their words of the year. They'll pick a word that for the year, and then they'll list their words of the year. And I've enjoyed following that. When President Bush, when W was in office, he constantly would mangle a few words. I've got that problem, and even though he's a smart guy, he would mangle a word, and he constantly mangled strategery instead of strategy, and that ended up being one of the words of the year by the Oxford English Dictionary. They weren't picking at him; it just entered the common parlance. Last year, one of the words of the year was woke, which I think is a dumb word. Someone is woke, you know. They're woke because they're socially conscious and socially aware. I think people who are socially aware don't use the word like woke, but that's just me. And so these kind of things. So you got some of those. And so I was interested. A few years back, one of the words became a word of the year was the word trigger. Trigger. How many of you knew that trigger was something besides what you pulled on a gun? Anybody besides the? And so a trigger, and particularly for 30 and under people, a trigger is something that sets you off, puts you in a bad place. A trigger is something that offends you, And this year, some of the words of the year, according to the Oxford English Dictionary people, again, they're not picking them. They're just saying how they've been used. The frequency of use and the frequency of things being looked up were some of the trigger words. And so trigger words like family and wildfire. Now, by the way, I get that one. Wildfire should be a trigger. And put you in a bad place. I didn't think the list was complete. I think taxes and bedtimes and auto repairs, I think all those should be, you know, trigger anybody besides me and those kind of things. Yeah, and taxes and that kind of stuff. But I laughed at some of that. I'm thinking, and then they linked an article. I shouldn't have read the articles. The articles made me mad. Nod your head if you're still following me. Because they're talking about 18-year-olds being offended with somebody. The trigger was somebody using all caps in a text message. That in all caps sent them to their corner. And they had to get under a weighted blanket and drink socially woke frutatas. And I don't know what they drank. But anyway, and I kind of chuckled. I'm thinking, you know, it wasn't that long ago 18-year-olds had bullets flying at their head. Amen? They weren't real worried about socially woke words. And the only trigger they were interested in was theirs working. Somebody say amen to that, right? And so I thought it was fascinating with December 2nd coming up and all. Let me help you. Let me give you a trigger word that ought to do something for you. And that's unthankful. Unthankful. Let me give you another one. Gimme. Gimme as an expression. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I want. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There ought to be some words that do that for us. I gave you the good title and then the title that I almost used, but I went ahead and put it in my notes there. And don't worry and don't waste and don't want for extra. Just be thankful. Be thankful. There ought to be a trigger idea in our head when we think about gratitude and thankfulness that provokes something in us. How many of you know somebody that struggles with being ungrateful? Anybody? Anybody struggles with somebody who struggles with being unthankful? Being unthankful. My wife will tell you, man, it just crawls all over me. If we're at a restaurant and somebody's being snippy with a waiter or waitress, I just want to go apologize on their behalf of the human race. Amen? Human race. I've hung out with some guys who were in ministry, and they didn't say thank you when the waitress brought anything like that, and I was ashamed to know them. I wanted to tell them I sold insurance or something like that, you know. It just gets all over me, If you've been on the other end of that, you've done something, man, and you're there. And I think, by the way, we're typically, if we shortchange each other this way, we're typically bad about shortchanging the Lord, aren't we? And so when Paul writes this here, he's writing to this church, and he's kind of helping them with some things. And he's making sure they understand when they talk to God, they're to talk to God how? With thankfulness. With gratitude. With thankfulness. You're saying, preacher, should I never want a new outfit? Should I never want a new this or new? I'm not talking about the every so often. I'm talking about I am consumed with the pursuit of more. I am consumed with the pursuit of something else, because something else never satisfies. If it did, the stores would go out of business. Nod your head if you're with me here. They constantly sell us that what we have is not good enough. And so when we're talking about this, I suggest to you that unthankfulness, non-gratitude, is a sign of a pagan generation. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. In their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. A sign of unbelief, wait for it, a sign of unbelief is that what? That you are not thankful. You're not thankful. What characterizes the lost? So if that characterizes, follow me, then thankfulness ought to characterize those who know Christ. Thankfulness ought to be a hallmark of those that know Jesus. I suggest to you that materialism is the very antithesis of thankfulness. It's the antithesis of thankfulness. Proverbs says, if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. How many of you think that would fix a lot of problems in the good old U.S. of A and of Canada? Anybody? If you don't work in it. Now again, can't work, different. Won't work. Everybody nod your head if you understand that. I'm not angry with the poor. I just want everybody that's able-bodied to get a job. I think for lots and lots and lots of reasons, much less the scripture here. Much less scripture. Say, you mean you're cold and calculating? Again, I use a trigger word. I know I did. Sorry about that. Work's a trigger word, and I did read that in the article. So we need to do that. It's an amazing thing to me. Amazing thing to me that people work and work and work because they think and they work, and instead of teaching children how to work hard, they teach children just to how to beg better. Nod your head if you've ever seen that phenomenon. They don't teach them how to work and provide for themselves. They teach them how to beg and manipulate their folks a little better. Everybody with me here? Everybody with me? And by the way, all of you that are grandparents, you're exempt. I know that's a privilege of being a grandparent, is to give the kids what they want. I got it. I got that. But we should what? We should what? And teach them to work. Teach them to work. And by the way, I went back and looked. I went back and looked to something I said 7 or 8 years ago about my children and phones. And I kept it. I kept my thing. I mean, both my kids have phones now. Riley, because of the games, and he's made the varsity team, and we ran it as long as we could. He's got it. He's finally got an older phone that works, and it's encased in titanium, and because I don't want him to drop it and break it, and those kind of things. But you look right here. My days of emptying the dishwasher are over. Somebody say amen to that. My days of running the vacuum are over. You know why? Because I'm paying an extra phone bill. Somebody stand up and give me a witness right now. Amen. Amen. He's going to get the privilege. He's going to get the extra jobs. He's going to get extra jobs. Why? Because that's how real world works. You want something, you need to work. How many of you think that's a beautiful philosophy? How many of you like me to come to your house and do a seminar? And, this is how it is. These days are over. Days are over. I am done. I am done folding my own clothes. Amen. Because I got an extra bill now because we had to do this. We got to do some of you going, man, you're rough and you're tough. You're rough and you're tough. I'm not entirely convinced still he needed one, but it looked that way, and so we got it, and we were there. You say, you're just being funny. No. Work, reward. Everybody with me here? No. And when you work for something, you are thankful for it. When you are blessed with something, and you recognize a blessing, then you can be more thankful. But if everything is always given to you, it's hard to ever figure out why you should be thankful. Why you should be thankful. How many of you in here have ever rewarded bad behavior just to get somebody to be quiet? Anybody besides me? Not very biblical, is it? Not very biblical. Let me give you three hallmarks here just quickly. I don't want to talk about parenting this morning. I just want to use the illustration. Why we shouldn't worry, why we shouldn't want all the time. And again, I'm not talking about never wanting anything. Or be wasteful, but be thankful. Why should we do this? Number one, here's the hallmark. A thankful person recognizes God as the provider. A thankful person recognizes God as the provider. I don't know why I don't do it as much anymore. I just don't. But I used to get into arguments with atheists, agnostics, stuff like that, arguments, discussions. And it's before we moved here. And this guy was like, do you ask God to bless your food? I went, I do. He said, your food taste any better? Real snotty. Real snotty. Little dried up fella. I was a lot heavier then. I could have sat on him, turned into a greasy spot. Anyway, and we were trying to have a dialogue, but he was getting snotty with me. He said, "Did your food taste any better?" I said, "I don't think so." He said, "Does it protect you? Have you never gotten sick?" And I went, "In the early days of our marriage, I got sick more often than I'd care to admit." Andre was experimenting on me. Thank God I didn't live in the age of Pinterest. Or I would have really been sick. I'm teasing, and she's sitting right there, and she knows it's true. And so we're there. He said, "Did it ever protect?" He said, "It obviously didn't keep you from gaining weight." Now, he just crossed the line then. I said, "No." He said, "Then why do you pray and ask the blessing?" I said, "Because it's just a sorry, sorry fellow who didn't bow his head and be thankful to a God who gave me the ability to lift my arm, ability to chew my food, ability to digest my food, cause the rain to come and the crops to grow, et cetera, et cetera." And I just kept on going because I had no part in that food chain and I had no part in designing my body. But I can bow my head and thank God that I got a bowl of rice and beans to eat. I'm not asking God to bless the food. I'm thanking God for blessing me and blessing me with the food. He said, "Okay." I don't think he agreed with me, but at least he understood. See, a thankful person recognizes that God is the provider. God is the provider. God is the provider. I'm amazed sometime. If you want to cut me the core, if my wife went out of here with some of you and talked about what a bad provider I was, how many of you think that'd make me feel good or bad? You may think that'd make me feel bad. Man, it hurt my feelings. It hurt my heart. And people post all kinds of things. They text each other stuff. Man, it's just awful. Just awful. Bad about their spouse or those kind of things. Let me help you. If Allison was walking around her college campus and said, "Boy, my dad's so sorry, he won't pay my school bill, and I don't have anything to eat or anything to wear and all, and he's yucking it up, eating donuts and whatever," I don't know what you'd say. I mean, that would hurt my family. Not your head with it. Anybody ever been put on the spot, actually maybe as a child to a parent, or maybe as a parent and you had a child say something or somebody who you were depending on and they were just showing that you weren't doing a good job, and maybe they didn't mean it, but you just, wow, it's just bad. Look right at me for a second. When we do that, we are saying to God, "You are not a very good provider." When I'm not thankful, a thankful person recognizes God as a provider. Be careful. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I am telling God, "Thank you." I am recognizing that God is the provider. God is provider. You want a great lesson. Every time you eat some food, every time you have a meal, everybody pause, everybody bow, and you thank God the provider. I didn't change the food. It didn't protect me from the food. It changes me. God, I was not responsible for this. You have been responsible for this. And I bow my head and I say, "Thank you for allowing me to have this great privilege." I mean, have this great privilege. I've talked about some things. And if we're not real careful, I have this. No, a thankful person recognizes God's provider. Secondly, quickly, a thankful person regularly gives thanks. See why I keep visiting this time of the year for me personally? I give thanks. I need to give thanks, right? Thankful person regularly gives thanks. I think two areas. You still with me? Say amen. Two areas. Number one, I think you ought to be thankful for what you have. Thankful for what you have. Ron and Glenda are moving 26 years of stuff, and they made 4 or 5 trips to the dump. And I looked at Ron Tuesday night, and I said, "Ron, would you ever thought, and they'd given stuff away and given stuff to Carm. They'd given stuff to some of you. They'd sold some stuff, and this was just stuff that just was good to nobody. Would you ever thought you'd live this long to have four or five truckloads of stuff that was just garbage, but you'd been just keeping it. You'd just been keeping it." Nod your head if that sounds about right for some of us. Anyway. And you're just having this guy. What you have? What do you have? I'm not talking about stuff that's no good. I'm talking about what you got blessings. The ladies sang this morning. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. We didn't do it this year for a couple of reasons, but I like it Thanksgiving to go around the table. What are you thankful for? See how long you can keep that up. I got news for you. If you think about it, you keep that up for several hours. For several hours. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. What are you thankful for? What's God done for you? What's God done for you? Count you. Thankful for your blessings. Thankful for your possessions. For your stuff. My mom had a dear friend when we were younger. She'd dust and cry. She'd dust and cry. What are you talking about, preacher? She wasn't allergic to her dusting. She'd dust and thank God for the knickknack. She'd thankful. She'd remember who gave it to her. She'd dust over here. She'd take that rag and put it inside of a jar, and she'd remember that was what her grandfather used to drink tea out of. She'd dust and cry. It's been a while since most of us done any kind of housework and cried because, well, we were thankful. We got more than most of the world will ever have. We got more than most of the world will ever have in storage. I'm thankful for blessings. We can be thankful for possessions. We can be thankful for relationships. We can be thankful for relationships. We've been here long enough. Being home felt like home, and being in Knoxville felt like home. Didn't because we got a house there, didn't because the church is here. Because you're here. I'm thankful for relationships. How many of your life is better because of the relationships that God has put in your life? You can be thankful for relationships. You can be thankful for answered prayer over and over and over again. God has seen fit to answer our prayers when we are undeserving. Somebody say amen to that. Man, He's answered our prayer. He has given us more than we could ever think about. We have relationships. By the way, we can be thankful for salvation. If you've asked Christ today, sin and your home is no longer here but is in the world to come, if He has changed you and forgiven you and given you a new relationship, all those kind of things, God, if nothing else, thank You for saving my awful, sorry, wretched, rotten soul. I'm thankful. You can be thankful for what you have. By the way, you can be thankful for things that are not real fun. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know that all things are working together for good to them that love God, those who are called according to His purpose. In that context, He's talking about hard times, suffering, trials, difficulties. I can thank God for that. Because why? Because there are things that I only learn and only get in the avenue of suffering and hardship. God changes me. God changes me. You still with me? I got 7 minutes. Still with me? I told the story 2 years ago. Some of you heard it. We got married with $3.47 in our pocket. Everybody was really good to us. Rehearsal dinner, rehearsal wedding. We left with quite a bit of money we lived off of as we were moving to a new area, a new ministry. And we had insurance, doctor, nothing like that. My wife did what many of you do and have done. She went to the local clinic that was just a few bucks if it was anything. They ran the test. Gave her a call, said something abnormal. Long story short, we've been married about 6 months. And they very clinically indicated Andrea had cancer. Thought she had cancer. Whirlwind of emotions went through a 25-year-old's mind, 26-year-old mind. We'll be a widower. She's going to die. I'm going to have children. I just thinking everything. We cried. We prayed. We didn't tell. We told those we told. Cried and prayed. And somewhere through all that, somebody said they got a bad reputation for messing up tests down at that place. You need to go to my doctor. We found the money, went to her doctor. Ran the same test. Doctor called us. Sorry, they scared you half to death. You're fine. That's one of the best phone calls ever got. Somebody nod your head. About 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. we were fairly convinced our life had changed upside down, inside out, all the way around. They didn't do anything mean to us, just a mistake. No problem. Look right at me for a second. We've been married 6 months, but I can promise you I never, ever, ever have forgotten how I felt toward my wife those 2.5 weeks. Every so often I'll get sideways, cranky. I'll remember 21 and a half years ago. I remember how I promised God anything. He'd let this woman live, be healthy. Suffering and trial change you. Change your life. Purify you. We can be thankful for hardships and hard times. You can be thankful for what you don't have, by the way. You can be thankful for what you don't have. You can be thankful that if you know Christ, you no longer have condemnation. You're no longer in the heavy hand of God's wrath and God's justice. All that was poured out on the cross of Christ. You can be thankful that you no longer have any guilt. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm no longer who I was. And when Satan comes and accuses me, I can say, you got to take it to a cross, because that's no longer me. He has taken away my guilt and my shame and my condemnation. And I could park here for a long time, but I'm telling you, if you struggle with guilt and with shame, you can be thankful to God that I don't have to struggle with that anymore because of what He has done for me. By the way, you can be thankful that you don't have so much stuff. They that would be rich, Proverbs says, well, fall into a snare, a trap. The love of stuff is never ending. He wasn't at the wedding. He'd been very sick. Anyway, friend of our family. Started a business with a loan from his brother. God blessed him. Very wealthy. Never acted, put on airs around anybody I know. Very generous. He stood and he gave a testimony. He said, I believe God's given me exactly what I can handle, and I've asked Him not to give me a penny more, because I'd rather be broke and trust God. Now, that's one thing to say if you don't have much in the bank. He's got quite a bit. I'd rather be broke and trust God than to be loaded, be very, very rich and not trust God. Let me help you. Thank God sometimes we ain't got so much stuff that it runs our life. It runs our life. Thankful for that. A thankful person recognizes God as provider, regularly gives thanks, and they understand what? They understand the source and the resource of thankfulness. We're back in our text, and I am done. Done. Oh yeah, the same voice that praises God should be the same voice that trusts God when they don't have so much that'll ruin them. True riches are always what? Eternal. True riches are always eternal. Look in the text, if you would, see what it says. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. Literally, don't worry about anything. And that is a whole other message. I want to foundation that. Look at the rest of it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Prayer, that's just a simple act of talking to God. Supplication typically is a list, whether it's a list for people or it's a list of things that are bothering me. Take your list to God, but season it with thankfulness, with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. Let your request, understand thankfulness is a resource. Thankfulness is a resource. I carry almost exclusively one of these. I carry a multi-tool. I carry a pocket knife for years. Now I've got one of these. Anybody carry a knife or a credit card knife or a multi-tool or anything? Anybody pocket knife or anything like that? I mean, anybody, you've carried it for years? How many of you would carry something, but people would ask you to fix things if you carried it anyway? I carry just because I need it. It's got an eyeglass screwdriver on it. I don't wear glasses. But I fixed a lot of people's eyeglasses who needed a screwdriver. It's got a little flathead screwdriver there and a pry bar. And then the tweezers, they don't do anything except stab me in the hand when I open them. I got a little awl punch, which I had to explain to my son the other day what that was. Used to, you had your belts, and then when you lose weight or gain weight, you'd add your own hole punches and those kind of things. But it's got a little file on there. And if I remember in prison and desperate to try and get out, and they didn't take it from me, I got another flathead screwdriver here. Whoops, sorry. And then it's got a little knife there that's really sharp and a flathead. And then at the end of it here is a pair of scissors. And I don't have a pair of pliers because I'm not that world, but I do cut things all the time. And bags of chips and stuff like that. No, I'm kidding. So I've got the scissors here, and it's got a little thing that'll hook on. It just folds right up, and it weighs just a couple ounces. And I keep it. I forget about it every so often. I keep it so often. You hit the airport, and they're like, "Give it here, sir." Oh. I've donated several of those through the years as I've flown and forgot about them. I got a bigger one of those. I keep one, a little $5 one from Lowe's in the office there because we need it. I like having something convenient when I need it to just have it. Nod your head if you're with me there. Somebody said, "I had no idea the preacher was loaded like that, and he's carrying this thing around loaded for bear. Look right here." If you think thankfulness is something to be done between the middle of November and the end of December, you're forgetting what a great resource it is. It is a tool. Thankfulness tunes my heart. Thankfulness helps me with discouragement. Thankfulness helps me with worry. Let me look right here for a second. Anybody here, you worried about something? You worried about someone? You ever up nights, up early, pit in your stomach, worry? A few of you? You got a resource right here. You're neglecting it. Notice the formula. He gives a command. Don't worry about anything. How am I going to do that, God? In everything, by prayer and supplication, take your list to God. How? With thankfulness. With thankfulness. When he says that word, be careful, be anxious for nothing there. When they would have heard it, they would have heard it as being pulled in two directions. That's a good definition of worry, isn't it? Being pulled in two directions at the same time, being anxious that way. It says, when you do this, verse 7, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall guard your heart and your mind. Thankfulness in prayer and taking my needs and concerns and my anxieties to God gives me an unbelievable blessing. Peace, tranquility. It's okay. See, you can... He said, if I had X amount of dollars, my life would be simpler. No. What you need is the peace of God. What you need is Him guarding your heart. It is not the storm around you that's really the problem. It's the storm inside of you. And the storm inside of you can only be handled by God Himself. Got all this stuff out here? Got it. Pray to Him. Take your list to Him, your request to Him. Do it thankfully. I can help you with that too. Sometimes when I'm overwhelmed, I just take my thanksgiving to Him. God, I'm thankful for this, this, and this, and this, and for you, and for you, and for you. Every 2 months, I'll print out everybody that's been to church here. It's updated. And I just start working my way through it. Sometimes I'll do it alphabetically. Sometimes I'll print it out in a different order. I thank you for this one. Thank you for her. It's been so encouraging. Thank you for him giving his heart to Christ. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. About 15 minutes of that, I feel a whole lot better. Walk around the house. God, thank you. Every now and then I'll get halfway across all the laundry. God will smack me and remind me, it used to be you at the laundromat at 11 p.m. waiting on a dryer. It used to be. All of a sudden, man, thankfulness will flood my soul and peace. Can I give you two suggestions? We're going to pray. Number one, practice daily the discipline of gratitude. I said last week, I love you, thank you, forgive me ought to be like oxygen around your house. I'm proud of you. Practice daily the discipline of gratitude. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Number two, purpose to pray. Purpose to pray about the stuff that worries you. We're odd, aren't we? We'll talk to people about stuff that worries us. We won't talk to God. We'll get online, vent our spleen. We won't talk to God. All those are okay. I'm not. But my first direction ought to be, God, this is concerning me. I'm worried about this. I'm concerned about this. I feel pulled in two different directions about this. God, would you help me? Would you send me your peace? And God, I'm thankful for what you're doing. And by the way, when you wrap that up like that, I believe it pleases God. And then we understand what God is wanting to do. And then God himself takes and guards our heart. Say, how often should I do it? Ever often you're concerned and worried about it. What time I'm afraid, David said, I will trust in you. Purpose to pray about the things that worry. See, I don't know what to do. I do. Pray. What do you do, preacher? I pray. And I pray and I pray and I pray and I pray. There's some mornings I will wake up with the weight of the world I feel like on my shoulders, and before I move the covers off, I will do my best to talk to God and say, God, I'm going to need your peace today because I already feel smothered by the weight of what's going on. So you do that, I do that more times than I'm proud to admit, because I absolutely need the peace of God to guard sentry in my heart. Because if not, my heart will just be overwhelmed. I imagine yours is too. Practice daily the discipline of gratitude. Number two, purpose. To pray about whatever it is that concerns and gives you anxious thoughts, it worries you. Would you pray with me right now? Father, in these moments, would you speak to us? Would you help us to determine these two things, to practice the discipline of gratitude daily, and then the purpose to pray about the things that concern and that worry and that bother us. And I ask you to do that right now. Or there are folks that are here with great big burdens. They may not be anybody else, but they are to them. There are folks that are here that are praying for people, Lord, and their worry has a name and has two legs. And Father, it has a heartbeat, and they're concerned for them, for their spiritual walk, or maybe a relationship, something there, and they're praying for them. Lord, there are parents and grandparents here who are carefully, that are anxious for their children because they see some things spiritually. There are spouses here that are praying for others. Lord, whatever it is this morning, would you so intertwine our lives that gratitude becomes part of our DNA spiritually? And help us as we practice that. And then would you give us the freedom in our spirit and our soul to take the things to you that give us so much grief and concern.